You are listening to The Waxing Podcast. My name's Kirsten, and you can find me at Tampa Waxer on Instagram. How are you doing today? How is your week going? When this was recorded, I'm currently sitting here during the second day of the election. So a little bit of craziness, suspense. We don't know who has it. Without giving any, like, you know, I won't take sides and I won't really talk political, but it's been crazy. So I figured that this was a perfect plug-in episode to introduce you guys. Of course, you all know Wax That Ash. Her name is Ashley. So she's been on a couple of my episodes before. And with everything going on, I just knew that I really needed to switch it up a little bit and have somebody on here with just such good energy, tons of information to give you. And so I decided to reach out and ask her if she wanted to do a waxing podcast takeover. So I thought that was really different, really fun. I've actually never listened to a podcast before where there's been a complete takeover. Like, I'm not going to be on the episode at all. It's kind of crazy. It was really fun talking to her about it after she recorded it, because she's like, oh my God, I never realized how much harder it was to be doing it when you don't have like a person on the other side, you know, sharing information with you or whatever else. And I'm like, I know, it's so crazy, but it, you know, she did amazing. Obviously, I have so much exciting content to share with you, and I think you guys are going to love it. I think that she's the perfect person for this week's podcast. And so let's get right in. This episode is brought to you by Grove Brands. I know what you're thinking. Is this a new aftercare product or a new wax brand? Nope, my friend, even better. This is a website company I love and trust that is going to give you your dream page. Listen, your first impressions are huge. This is the first spot online that your clients are going to see you. Don't try to do this yourself, okay? It's not worth it. It takes so much more time, and you never perfect it like a professional does. We talk about it all the time. Hey, don't wax at home. Don't use Flamingo. We do it better. This is exactly what a website designer will tell you. And right now, if you let him know that Tampa Waxer sent you, he is giving you a free consultation to help navigate you in your website creation. And Grove Brands is linked in the bio below. So go ahead and take a look. And you can also find them at Grove Brands on Instagram.
What is up, you guys? It's your boy, Wax That Ash. And today I am taking over the Waxing Podcast. And we are talking about none other than, drumroll please, lash lifts. I know. You guys are sitting here thinking, this is a waxing podcast. Why are we doing this? However, the people spoke and the people want to hear it. And by the people, I mean over on my Instagram, at WaxThatAsh, or the people on Kirsten's Facebook group, The Waxing Podcast. If you haven't already, go ahead, give me a follow at WaxThatAsh on Instagram, and go join The Waxing Podcast Facebook group. It's a community of people who are professional waxers, estheticians, cosmetologists, or in school to become a cosmetologist or esthetician. And it's just like a really great group for advice, suggestions, and all the like. So go ahead and follow that. You also get exclusives into anything that Kirsten's launching. She always goes over there first. It's pretty exciting. I feel like I'm one of the elites being part of that group. So Let's get started. I'm going to talk about lash lifts for a bit, and then we are going to do a Q&A portion where I answer your cues. So let's start out. What is a lash lift? And how did I get into it? Because everybody always asks me that. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Ashley, and I started teaching pretty much right out of esthetician school, literally 2 days. And I have been teaching now for 4 years and have a 100% pass rate. And when I was in school, they taught us lash lifts, tinting, and extensions. And now I teach my students the same things. So when I started working for Kelly Baker, they had a huge demand for lash lifts. And I told them, you know, I know how to do this. If you guys need help, I can help out. I know what I'm doing. And that's basically where I started blossoming. I was taking a lot of clients. I really refined my skills there. If you guys saw how I was doing a lash lift, literally like a year and a half, 2 years ago, you'd be shocked at what I was doing. I was literally using my fingers to stick the lashes onto the rod. Now I use my microfiber tools or my, what I call my magic sticks, which everybody always asks me about, but those will be available on my online store soon before Black Friday, definitely. But the thing is, if you want to do something, just start doing it, because I could have been like, oh my gosh, I don't really know how to do this like as good as some people. But if I never had started, then I never would have like refined my skills. So go ahead, get your training and start. All right. So what is a lash lift? A lash lift, for those of you who don't know, because I know I am speaking to a waxing community, a lash lift is a chemical perm, basically, for your lashes. So it's a perm that's been scaled down and altered slightly to do on a smaller scale. Typically with regular perms, or even if you've heard the term lash perm versus lash lift, the only difference was the product that you're using now is a cream. And for a typical perm, the solutions were liquid. So when they started out doing lash perms, they were using basically what was a rope with double-sided tape on it to stick the lashes onto it, and then liquid product. So it's really dangerous. And now that has definitely evolved into something glorious. Instead of using the rope or whatever they used to use, we now use silicone shields or rods on the eyelid. And instead of liquid products, we are using cream products, and it's a lot safer. So basically your lashes are straight, and then by the end of the process, they are curly. What happens during a two-step chemical process, for those of you who are not cosmetologists, it is breaking down the bonds in the hair to restructure them into a new shape. So your lashes are straight and then they're curly based on the rod size that you use. It takes about 45 minutes or more to do. It depends on the brand that you're using. And then the whole thing lasts about 6 to 8 weeks. I always tell my clients around the 5 or 6 week mark, that's when you'll start noticing the lashes start falling, the new growth is coming in. And that's the typical time where you'll get it redone. Some people's lasts a lot longer, some people's last shorter, and there are a lot of variables in between. Just like different medication, hormone imbalance, pregnancy, all those things can factor in to why your lash lift takes or doesn't take, or how curly the lashes look after. And a question that I get is, what why I choose Elibana, which is the company that I use for my lifting product. And if I would ever come out with my own, never say never, but I honestly don't think I will ever come out with my own lifting solution. Why fake something that isn't broken? I absolutely love using Elibana products. Their solutions have given me the best results. If you guys are interested in lash lifts or you do lash lifts yourself, I highly recommend checking out other brands. I have worked with other brands before, and I just don't get the same outcome. And I think it's important to give other brands a try, but also if you find something that you love, like, stick to it, love it, hone in on it. And Elibana is a world-renowned company, and I love the service. I love Otto and Zoe, which Otto's the owner, Zoe's his wife, and it's just an all-around great company. Why I choose Elibana and choose to stick with Elibana is because they're forever growing and changing their and altering the brand to fit in the current times. Also, the main reason I stay with Elibana is the processing times. I love a short processing time, which proves or provides higher risk when you are doing a lash lift. If you aren't trained properly, you do have a better chance at singeing somebody's lashes, over processing them. And that's a risk that you take. However, if you are properly trained, it's something that you won't have to worry about when you are using correct processing times. And the processing times on average are 6 minutes for the first solution and 5 for the second solution. Most other companies are double that. So typically around 12 to 15 minutes. I know there's Dolly Lash, Yumi, Keratin Lash Infusion, Tuya, and I've tried several of the brands, but I will just stick with Elibana because of those processing times. I love a quick processing time. My clients love it. They're in and out, max 45 minutes. That's including tinting, and I don't really have many issues with that, so... would I recommend getting trained in lashes? Yes, definitely. When you are working with hair and chemical processing, it is not something that I think that you should stick to YouTube for. I think you have people's eyes in mind. You know, you're using a chemical that is right by somebody's eye. It's what someone sees with. I think you have to take that into consideration and properly get trained on a brand. You can either get trained with a brand or with your favorite artist. I know that, like, I do one-on-one trainings like using Elibana products. However, I'm not an Elibana trainer. So just look into trainings, but look into what they're teaching, what you get out of a training, and if you think it's the right fit for you. Some people get trained with Elibana, some people get trained with Yumi, some people get trained by their favorite artist. It's totally up to you. And just remember, not everybody's a teacher, and just because they have a course doesn't mean it's going to be good. I think that you should ask questions if you are interested in a course. Do not be afraid to ask questions about what it is you're going to learn, the breakdown of what you're going to learn. Are you going to be able to have hands-on? Things like that, because that is really important when you are spending your hard-earned money. Let's talk a little bit about aftercare with lashes, because... you definitely want to, if you are talking with your client, you need to be retailing them in aftercare, retailing them or giving them something for aftercare. I personally have two different prices for my service. So when I have a new client, It is a higher price, and that is because it has the cost of my aftercare mascara Lash Surge into the price. So this for me ensures that they are going to have the aftercare enough to, they're going to have the aftercare and have no excuse to use it. When you are just selling an aftercare product and your clients aren't buying it, and then they come in next time and they wonder why their lashes are kind of wonky, then it's typically because they haven't been using aftercare. Just like when you bleach your hair or do any chemical service to your hair, you need to keep it moisturized. The same goes with the lashes. So that's why I have the price with the keratin mascara in it, because what the keratin's going to do is hydrate their lashes and promote a healthy hair cuticle. It's going to absorb that keratin and make their lashes look full and glossy. My Lash Surge also has like sunflower seed oil in it, chamomile, and a root that helps with hair growth. So you want to be able to explain that to your clients, why they're going to have to take care of their lashes and how they're going to be able to achieve that. If not, your client can come back and their lashes could look wonky, but that's mostly because they're dry. So if you retail them some nice moisturizing products, then you won't be dealing with those issues. Okay, so I think that's pretty much it with lash lifts. I have a bunch of questions that I'm going to ask. I know some of them have lash lifts in it, but I'm going to go to the Facebook group and see. Okay, so somebody asks, Celia asks, if I know how Elibana compares to some other popular brands, training, and about wholesaling. Okay, so not sure if she should go with Elibana, Yumi, Tuya, Lash Balm. Those are the main ones that she's heard of, in case I know anything about them and how they compare. Thanks, boy. Okay, so for me, like I said, I love Elibana because of the processing times. When you use Yumi, Tuya, Lash Balm, Dolly's Lash, KLI, those all have longer processing times. I really don't know about the training for other companies. I don't even know about Elibana's training because I wasn't trained with them. I was trained by my school and then learned other things, like based on research and other artists. Let's see. Oh, and then about wholesaling, if any of you guys want to wholesale Brow Surge or Lash Surge, which is the product that she is talking about, that is my aftercare for wax. Brow Surge is my aftercare for brow lamination and brow waxing. And then my Lash Surge is an aftercare for lash lifts. If you guys want more information about wholesaling, you can always email info@waxthatash.com and ask for more information, and I'll give you the prices for all wholesaling and how we'll go about that. And let's see. Michaela said, I want to hear about these lifting shields, girl. Also, do you plan to add employees or services to your menu in the future? Do you see yourself continuing to teach as your business grows? Okay, these are really good questions. So do I plan to add employees or services to my menu? I definitely don't think I'll be adding any other services. I thought about doing vajayshals, but honestly, it just seems like a lot. If I'm being honest, I thought about doing the mask, but here's how I look at it. If I charge $60 for a 15-minute Brazilian, and that mask, you typically people are using the jelly masks, the Esthamaxes. They take about 15 minutes to set. I cannot charge $60 for that mask as well. So I don't know how I would add it to make it worth it. Do you know what I'm saying? I would rather just like give it, like sell those masks as a take-home product for them to do themselves. But I don't think I'll be adding any services. I just added brows again. And for those of you guys who know me, you know I hate doing brows. I'm not a brow girl at all. Do I see myself adding employees? I'm terrified of adding employees. Right now, I'm definitely not at that point. In the future, possibly. However, my parents have owned businesses my whole life, and it's just jaded me, you guys. I'm putting it out into this universe that if I do have an employee, that I have a really good employee who wants to be an employee. But I don't know, like, what happens. Like, I don't want to be treated like a European wax center and have somebody be working for me and then just leave. You know, I'll be heartbroken. I'm too sensitive for this. Okay, and then do I see myself continuing teaching? I don't think so. I will 100% still do trainings, but teaching at the esthetician school, it is a lot. I love teaching, and I actually, before I started doing esthetician school to like get my license, I was going to school to be a high school math teacher because I just have always had a knack for teaching. In fourth grade, my teacher told me I'm either going to be a teacher because I love helping people learn, or I'm going to be a lawyer because I love to argue. So there you go. I went to be a teacher. And I wanted to be a math teacher because I had really good math teachers. So I really got math easily. I wasn't necessarily great at math, just like some people are, but I had really great teachers that made me excited to learn the math. So I always wanted to be that teacher for somebody, which is funny because I am that teacher for people, but for aesthetics now. And I love doing it. However, I work Monday through Friday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And it's a lot when I have to wake up, be at my studio at 9, leave by 3, go home, walk the dog, and then go to school. So my days are always over 12 hours. And then I wake up early to go to Orange Theory, or, you know, when the world was open, I could go to my 6 a.m. Orange Theory class. And I was overworked, burnt out, and as much as I love teaching, I would much rather do small group trainings and one-on-one classes because I don't think I'll ever give up teaching completely. But those were good questions. Speaking about teaching, Brittany asked, how did I get into teaching aesthetics and the requirements to become an instructor in my state? Okay, so in California, you literally need zero credentials to be an aesthetics instructor. You don't even have to have your license to be an aesthetics instructor. So it's really funny. Okay, so when I was a senior in my particular school, we only have freshmen and we have senior. So once you're finished with the book after a certain amount of weeks, then you move on to your senior, into the senior room. Well, I kept going into the freshman room and just asking them like, oh, what do you guys want to learn? Like, what are you guys not getting? How can I help? To the point where I was about to graduate, and I guess the students had went to Tim, my director, and told him, Ashley's one of the only people we're learning from. We think that you should take that into consideration. So the day before I graduated, Tim calls me in his office, and I'm really thinking, you guys, that he's going to tell me I have like 2 more weeks until I have to graduate and that I did my math wrong or something like that. But he offered me a job, and it was based on me getting my license. So I thought, for sure, I was going to fail just because the way of the world. And I passed my license on October 9th, 2016, and then October 11th. Oh, no, I got my license on October 7th, 2016, and I was teaching on October 9th, 2016. I literally had 2 days to prepare, and the class that I was teaching had gone through 5 different teachers. They were frustrated. They were mad. They felt ripped off. And I was so nervous. If you meet me in person, you would be like, "You nervous? No way." You guys, I'm telling you, I had dreams, nightmares about my class literally turning against me, like trying to fight me. I had been waxing at European Wax Center around the same time, and I literally like would shake when I would teach them things, but they turned out to be, they were such a great class. Like, I keep in contact with a lot of them, and they were so appreciative of what I was trying to bring to the table for them because they had gone through so many teachers. So I think that if you want to be an instructor, you have to know that it's difficult. It is a difficult position, especially being as young as I am. I feel like there's a point where I have to convince people that I can actually teach them something. And then after, they're just like, "Oh yeah, she does know what she's talking about." I definitely think that if instructing is something that you're passionate about and you have a thick skin, then go for it. But if you don't, just think about all the things you complained about when you were in school. All your students forever will complain about those things. So keep that in mind. How have I developed my own line? Okay, so for people who don't know, I recently came out with Lash Surge and Brow Surge. Those are my aftercare line, and I am about to launch my lifting shields, lifting combs, my cleansing brushes, doe foot applicators, and my microfiber wands, which are my magic sticks. And when I developed that, I was sick of buying wholesale at the time. Eliplex, which is Elibana's aftercare, was $25, and that was the wholesale price. And they expected you to sell it for $50, but my company was selling it for $30, so I didn't find it lucrative at all. So I looked into producing my own. And you honestly just have to find a manufacturer. You can go through the route of building it yourself from scratch. If you know a cosmetic chemist, that would be really helpful. And then just finding a company that would produce it for you. It is an investment. Definitely an investment, but it was worth it for me. And I love that so many people support me and wholesale it from me as well, because I do have wholesaling options. But it's been a journey, and it's honestly been a really good ride. Let's see, more content tips and scrappy ways to get new clients. I've been loving the airdrop tip. Oh my gosh. Okay. So Sydney asked this, more content tips. I would honestly say, I think Kirsten and I say this a lot, but actually show up on your Instagram. A lot of people don't show up on their Instagram, and by showing up, I mean showing your face, because people love you, right? Like, people come to see you in your suite. So I think it's important to show them you, and to show future clients you, because if you keep posting stock pictures and like Pinterest clips, you know, which I've done before. If you scroll all the way down to the, like when I first started my Instagram, I have a lot of just standard pictures and it means nothing, right? So I would honestly start showing up, doing tips and tricks, talking about different things in your product, whether it is aftercare, pre-booking, why you should keep waxing during the winter, first Brazilian tips, things like that. Post about stuff that your Instagram is for your clients. It's not to gain followers. It's to attract clients and be an informational source for your clients. I also think that you guys should put in your location in your Instagram. There has been so many times where I've been scrolling through Instagram and I go to look at somebody's page and see where they're located, and there is literally nowhere on their Instagram that says their location. Not in their bio. They don't tag their places at the top of the picture. Sometimes it's even hard to find when I click on their website, and I'm just like, dang, like if I was an actual client, like looking to get a service from this person, I would have just moved on because it's way too much to be searching for your location. So that is an idea to get clients, is make sure your location, whether, and if you guys are in a suite or working out of your house and you don't want your personal address or you don't want the address on your Instagram, at least put the city and state that you're in, you know? Let's see. Vanessa Orozco said, how to find a location for your business? Is it better to sublease or rent a suite? This is a great question. So for me, I am renting a suite. I rent at a Phoenix salon suite. But what I think, if you are looking for a location, I think that you should look for a location that has good foot traffic. It's all about location, right? And compare rents, because here in California, my rent for my suite is $360 a week. So I'm paying almost $1,500 a month. That's in a lot of other states, that could be a rent for a retail spot. So if you're looking for if you're looking to move and for a business, like a retail spot, then I would definitely compare prices. But it is nice that when you are working at a suite, I don't have to pay for anything like my electricity, my Wi-Fi. If anything breaks, that's all my landlord's responsibility. So keep that in mind as well, because those could definitely add up if you're not careful. And then, okay, so we have a couple more questions. This one's from my sister. She asked me, would I ever move to Tampa? She's trying to get me to move back to Florida. She wants me to work for Rhea. For those of you who don't know, that's Kirsten's boss. And right now, no, I'm not planning on moving back to Florida. And let's see, my favorite lash lift adhesive, I use La Mansa. It's on Amazon, and it is the exact same to the one that Alibana has, only this one is like $6 a tube. So way, 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 way more worth the money. And I think that's it. Let me just double check, you guys. Somebody asked, what brow courses would you recommend that can be done online? I actually have not taken an online brow course. I do know that Waxaholic, Browholic, they have them. I think the Naked Brow also has one. I just can't recommend any because I've never taken them. So I would definitely look into those. And that is all, folks. Okay, so I am super pleased with how many questions you guys asked. This was a really good episode. If you guys have any other questions about lash lifts that I didn't cover in this episode, feel free to reach out to me via email, info@waxthatash.com, or on my Instagram @waxthatash. I get a lot of messages on there, so I really try to respond. It might take me a couple days. Don't hate me for it, but that's just the way it is. Okay, let me not start singing on this podcast. I want to wish you guys all a good morning, afternoon or evening, depending on where or when you are listening to this podcast. And thanks so much for listening to me rant about lash lifts on a waxing podcast. And thank you, Kirsten, for having me do this. It was really fun. Definitely more fun when we do it together. But I'll see you guys next time on the Waxing Podcast. Yeah.